Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the phone calls here on Nick Sirianni. By the way, the Nick Sirianni press conference coming up at noon today. Eagles push back practice a little bit here to around 3:30 instead of 2:10. They're going to have practice today on the field at the Link.
Oh, yeah, Hugh. I get that, because that's when it's going to be brick.
Oh, you're trying to get prepared for the field conditions?
Listen, let me tell you.
I like that.
The later, the worst part that I remember about playing those 4 o'clock games.
Cold?
Ooh, no, because it sets it. Like, it'll start off in this one temperature.
Well, that darkness will get there soon.
I wish I could use the words that I really want to use to describe how cold it is out there on these airwaves, but I can't.
No.
But boy, I tell you, it's a different animal when that sun starts to go down.
Well, it's going to be a fun one. Sunday, 4:30, Eagles and the Packers. Let's talk about that game and a whole lot with our next guest here, Seth Joyner.
Well, Seth, sponsored by the Bet Parks app. New users get up to $1,000 casino bonus back. BetParks.com for details. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how are we doing today?
What's up, folks? Hey, Hugh, you didn't have no problem telling people how you really felt on my podcast, though.
Hey, Seth, this is a
Hugh
different...
Douglas After Dark?
Hey, this is different. You know what I mean?
Seth, we're excited to have you on, and obviously a big week here as we get set for the Packers. All right, Seth, first thoughts on the matchup, Seth. It's interesting, as the Packers are not your typical, you know, low seed, a 7 seed. They did win 11 games, but they did struggle a little bit the last couple weeks season. What do you make of the Packers as we get ready for this game?
Well, they're definitely not the same team, you know, from week one. I think that offensively, Josh Jacobs is a big part of what they do. Matt LaFleur likes to run a balanced, you know, situation. And, you know, to be honest with you, Jordan Love has kind of been, you know, in flux all season long. You know, I think that his ceiling was, in everybody's opinion, was extremely high the way they played the end of last year and, you know, getting all the way as far as they went in the playoffs last year. But he hadn't been the same player. And I'm not sure whether it's the elbow injury that he sustained in week one that all of a sudden now has cropped up again here in week 18. I don't know what it is. You know, defensively, their defense is, you know, historically been the side of the ball that's held them back. You know, they've always been an offensive-centric team. You go all the way back to Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers, now with Jordan Love. Everything's centered and all of their assets are on the offensive side of the ball. But this defense has played a lot better, you know, the last half of the season. You know, they rank in the top 10 in a lot of statistical categories. And they got some players over there. They got some veterans on the back end. They're missing some pieces. But, you know, on paper and at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the Eagles are the superior team and should win this game.
Well, I agree with that. And they're at home, and they get the advantage there. Seth, you mentioned how much they've changed since week one. How much do you take from that? Because both teams have changed. It was a long time ago, even what was the season. You know, sometimes rematches, you kind of look back at that first game. Do you take a lot out of it? Do you take things and say, hey, that the Eagles could use that? Or was it so long ago, it doesn't even really come into your thought process?
No, you got to throw that game out the window, especially, you know, the first four games of the season. You know, as a player, I always use the first four games of the season to be the guidepost for, you know, from that point forward. I could take those four games and break a team down and tell you everything you'd want to know about that team from, you know, an analytical standpoint. And, yes, back in my day, we had analytics. It just didn't drive the machine the way that it drives it now. And from a film standpoint, I could tell you by formation, by down and distance, where they were on the field, what they like to do, who a quarterback's favorite receiver was in pressure situations, who he was going to go to, their tendencies in certain run situations. But, you know, in today's game, those first four games are like preseason. They're trying to figure out who they are. So you got to throw that game out the window. And I would venture to say, you know, the coaches are doing a much deeper dive than four games. But for the players, they're going to take the last four games that the Packers have played, and they're going to dissect that to try to get all the information, the tendencies and whatnot that they need, you know, to go to battle against this team on Sunday.
Yeah, not only that, Seth, they're probably looking at the tape from last year when Green Bay beat Dallas to see some different formations. Cause...
Yeah, you know what, to be honest with you, Hugh, that would probably be more beneficial. The only difference is, you know, you don't have Aaron Jones in the backfield. Now.
Yeah,
you've got Josh Jacobs, and Josh Jacobs is a different animal.
Yeah, and then you look at some of the formations and stuff that they ran in the playoffs that you don't want it to sneak up on you and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely.
No doubt about it.
Seth Joyner with us here. Seth, as we get ready for this, so practice today will be the first practice of the week, and it'll be a big day to find out where Jalen Hurts is through his concussion protocol. If he's out there, we'll all breathe a sigh of relief, and it sounds like he'll be ready for the game on Sunday. Seth, let's go off the idea he's going to be out there. Would you run him less? Would you think about having less quarterback run because of what just happened and you don't want it to happen again? Or if he's clear, you just play the game?
Well, listen, I'm not very often a major fan of the quarterback run, the called quarterback runs anyway. I just think that it puts your quarterback, you know, at risk too much. But I understand why you do it, because it gives you numbers. Because the free safety is the guy that's responsible for the quarterback. So that means in the box there's nobody responsible for him. So if you win all of your man-to-man blocking battles, the quarterback's going to have somewhere to run up until, you know, 15, 20 yards away from that free safety. So I understand why they do it. I'm just not a big fan of it. Now, the RPO is a big piece, and the read option is a big piece of what they do. You can't control that. You know, if I'm the but if I was the Packers defensive coordinator, I would force Jalen to run the football. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that end would crash down on that running on Saquon every single time, and I'd make Jalen go around the corner with the football. I'd put the ball in his hands and force him to run the football, and really force the Eagles coaching staff to decide whether you want to put him at further harm or how you want to play this thing. That's just strategy. If I'm a defensive coordinator, you know, I had B Doc on my TV show yesterday, Hugh, and I mean, you know, he was fantastic.
Doc, I know you and him talking football. I know Doc got real intense.
Oh man, it was really good stuff. You know, and I asked him the question. I said, "Hey man, put your DC hat on. You put your DC hat on, and you tell me if you had to shut down Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley in this offense, how would you go about
killing the quarterback?"
And his response was gold. It was just great stuff. But that would be, you know, Joe, to answer your question, that's how I would handle it. You know, I would put the onus on the Eagles coaching staff to figure out how much danger are you willing to put your quarterback in, given the fact that, you know, he's been on the shelf for the last 3.5 almost 4 weeks.
Are you concerned with rust, Seth, you know, for Jalen Hurts? Because not only it's one thing to be through the concussion protocol and let's say and hope he's perfectly healthy. Okay, great. But also he just hasn't had practice and he's only thrown, you know, 4 passes in a game dating back to that Steeler game, which he was great in, but that was on December 15th. Would rust be a concern of yours heading into the game? Because it's just a matter of reps. He just hasn't had many reps because of this protocol.
Listen, I'm concerned just because, you know, football players play football, and, you know, we are all programmed for this time of the year. It's like, you know, I've been retired since 1999, but you want to know something? When I get to August, there's this eerie itch that starts on me, and I know what it is. You know, it never leaves you. And then you're in this mode, you're programmed for this time of the year. So anything that interrupts that programming, and he's been interrupted for the last 4 weeks, there's got to be some consequence to that. you know. So there's going to be some rust. The thing that concerns me the most is that you are going from the regular season into the postseason, and the intensity level is going to shoot up another 15% to 20%. Everything's going to speed up, and he's trying to get his footing back under him. I'm a bit concerned about that, but you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, the Eagles, you know, I'm not going to say they made the decision that they made, but I just find it weird that, you know, he's still in concussion protocol. Here we are, you know, almost 3.5 weeks later. And I think there's a difference between being in protocol and being tested in protocol. And I kind of get the sense that, you know, in my opinion, they made a decision that they weren't going to play the starters, that, you know, so there was no need to rush him out of protocol. So he could be in protocol without being tested and still be in protocol, opposed to being in protocol and being tested and not getting through protocol, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, kind of leave him on the shelf and just let him sit there until they need to kind of hit that button, which is today. Seth, let's end with this. You played in, I believe, and active and on a team for 11 playoff games in your career. What's it like? What's the butterflies, the feeling when you step on the field for a playoff game? Is it different, or do you try to keep it, and do you think the players try to keep it just like a regular game? What was it like for you?
You know, you try to keep it the same. I had Chris Long on the podcast last night. I asked him, you know, hey, if I could put you in that locker room to talk to these young guys, you know, what advice would you give them? Because there's a lot of young players on this football team that's never experienced this before. And one of the things that he said is that, hey, you know, it's just another game. Just let the game come to you instead of you chasing plays. But in a lot of ways, it's not just another game. I agree with that, because you can go into a game, you know, wanting to put your stamp on the game and do something. And when you try to do too much instead of just doing your job, you get in trouble. Then you have the other aspect of it. You know, listen, when they come out of that tunnel, the link is going to be at fever pitch. The energy is going to be off the charts. And for some of these guys, they've never experienced that before. So how do you keep yourself even keeled and don't get overly hyped, you know, and need a damn Snickers but at the end of the first quarter to kind of get some energy going? You know, how do you stay level? That's a lot of it too, because you gotta maintain that intensity. You know, how do you stay even keeled, but when that whistle blows and the first play happens, you're on a hair trigger. It's a hard thing to manage, especially for, you know, young players who've never been there before. So that's where, you know, you kind of get some of the veterans that's been there and done it before. It's got to have these conversations with these guys to get them to understand, you know, how to manage themselves through that situation. But, yeah, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it knowing that you're in the playoffs, that you're in win-or-go-home mode. There is no next week. It's next year once you lose. The finality of it. The excitement of the prospect of winning and moving on to the divisional round and then to the conference championship round and then to the Super Bowl. All of those things, all of those expectations and emotions have to be managed even in the wild card week.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch every year how some players raise their game and keep their emotions in check. Some obviously do not. Hopefully the Eagles can on Sunday. Seth, we appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your week. And let's talk next week before we get set for the divisional round. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Seth Joyner there with us. All right, 215-592-9494. Using colorful language on podcasts you don't use on the air?
Yeah, I can't. Because we were in a space where, you know,
safe space, language. Yes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I use a little bit of colorful
language. Yeah, this is safe space to an extent.
Well, certain sense, because I know for a fact there's a lot of times, and we have these conversations in the break room, that it's a lot of feelings that I have to leave in the break room.
We're not going to act like he's only, like, he doesn't bring this to the air, though.
No, I do. I mean,
why has Rashaad Reddick been on four other freaking football teams?
You know what it is, man. I say this as a joke, but there's some truth to it. You know, I have to be careful and I have to be reserved in some of the things that I do, because I already got two strikes. You know, and they say when you get that third strike, you know what I mean? So I have to kind of, you know, a lot of times kind of walk it back. But every now and then, like on Twitter, you know, that hue will rear his ugly head and, you know, say some some colorful
Is that
beauties.
A new hue for the brackets? Twitter hue?
Yeah.
Algorithm like, hue?
Twitter fingers
hue? And, I,
know,
and yeah. I can tell, you know, it's funny because I can tell, like, say, if I send out a tweet that might not be a good one, Rod will kind of walk around. Like, he won't, like, I applaud our boss for allowing me to be me because I've toned it down, but he allows me, you know, he gives me a little rope when it comes
well,
to stuff
like
that.
It's like a player. You have to. You got to let him be them.
You know what I mean? But if I get too far out there, he will tap on the glass and say, yo, yeah, pull that back.
Take a deep breath here. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phone lines here. But first, before we do, is we discuss Sirianni. And has he done enough for you to secure his job long term? He hasn't for me. I mean, I haven't changed my position on this. I said 5 weeks ago we brought this up, and everyone was yelling at me that I didn't want to give him a contract extension. And I said, let's get to the playoffs and see what he does. Well, now we're here. I expect playoff wins. Otherwise, I'm not sold I want this guy back. I mean, regular season wins, I mean, you could keep him. I want the playoff wins. 215-592-9494. 74% on our Twitter poll early on say Sirianni's done enough for them to secure his job. Hughes in that camp. I need to see playoff success. Before, though, we get back to the phones, we do have some all-pro news out there. I believe two Eagles, Kyle.
Is it one of them 53?
Well, it's the official... Is it AP All-Pro that's the official one?
I think so. Is this the NFLPA?
NFLPA voted for All-Pros. Two Eagles.
All right, can we guess them?
Sure, go ahead.
Jalen
right.
Carter.
I'm going to guess Saquon off the
jump. Saquon and Jalen Carter.
There we go. The two All-Pros.
Well, what now, I know this, I can't tell you what
is
Zach
this
Bond
just first,
finished.
Well, is it because the AP does the first team and the second team, right? So you get, I think you get that designation. Even if Zach Bond better make at least a second team.
I mean,
team
man, he's played so well. And I know I've been flippant when it comes to the defensive play, but it
thank
is,
you for admitting that out loud. Thank you.
I mean, I know I have, yeah. but listen,
everyone out there in their car driving is like, finally.
No, but
finally,
I'm dug in. And just let me say this, because you've dealt with people that are stubborn. The worst thing that you could do is tweet me, defense is a luxury, not a necessity. Because that just makes me dig in even more.
It makes him more emboldened.
Yeah, because it's like you're gonna like I'm gonna be even more defiant. So it and then when you say that, when you start the conversation out there and then try to appeal to me, I've checked out already. So you've lost me when you try to be funny and say, well, defense is luxury, not necessity. I'll check out. So I'm just letting y'all know.
Okay.
So when I leave y'all on read, you know why.
Okay. There's the huge
you know
PSA.
I mean?
It's out there.
I'm just
there.
Saying.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here on the whole Sirianni thing. Mike in on the cells up. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's
how you
up,
doing,
Mike?
Man?
What are you thinking?
Well, to me, Sirianni's probably done enough to keep his job, but if he lost in the first round, I would probably fire him just to get a coach that knows offense, and we can keep a consistent offensive system going forward. Because we seem to lose a coordinator every other year.
Well, with that, Mike, and I'm not sure if he's actually going to get any of these jobs, but Kellen Moore is interviewing
he's
for the Saints job.
For quite a few jobs.
Saints job and the Jaguars job. Mike, it is a long-term thing. I mean, you know, look, Sirianni's had success. They put good coordinators around him, but there's a reason why the Rams and the 49ers, and we can go to, you know, a few others, Andy Reid, obviously, with the Chiefs, it's just easier for them to sustain success because they don't have to worry about the offense walking out the door every 2 years. It's just, it's the truth.
Agreed, and I would go after Ben Johnson in a heartbeat, and I think we would be a top choice for any
he's,
new
He's very
coming.
Creative, though. It feels like his offenses are very, very innovative.
Yeah, they get guys open all over the place. Yeah, Mike, I think the way you read it, and Mike, we appreciate the phone call, I don't expect Sirianni to be out of a job on Monday if they lose. I don't expect that. But for me, I'm not extending his contract after the playoffs unless they get to the NFC title game. Does anyone else have standards anymore around here, or is it 14 wins? 14 wins is the new standard.
I think that for most people, if they're being realistic, like a lot of fans are thinking Super Bowl.
Yes, as they should.
Yeah, I mean, I am. But I feel like
we're going to New Orleans, Hugh. That is what you've been saying.
No, I've
since
been
September.
Saying it for, and I'm still on that. But I think that there's a camp in there that they look at that Detroit Lions and they might think that that's going to be a tough one.
All right, so
that'd be a consolation.
Can we set the bar at get to the NFC title game?
Yeah, I think that's where the bar is for most fans.
They're going to have two home games to get there. Beat the Packers at home. Beat the Vikings or Rams or Bucks at home, and let's go to Detroit and take our shot.
I'm not getting ahead of myself because I know we still have a tough road to hoe, But I wouldn't mind going to that Detroit game. That game is going to be lit.
We going to Detroit?
I throw it out there. Maybe the boss is listening. Like, I wouldn't mind being at that Detroit game. Definitely wouldn't mind doing a show.
You better have your coat ready for Detroit because the cold.
I don't plan on being outside.
But how are you going to get places?
I have family in Detroit. I mean, it's the Midwest, so I have my daughter's there.
Did they know how to teleport you? You got to walk around. You got to get places.
Yeah, it is. It's brick. It's a little bit bricker. It's brick in Detroit.
That Midwest
cold. I have a coat, though. I got one coat. My coat will be here Friday.
Is it good enough for Detroit cold?
We'll see.
All right,
we'll
find
see if
out.
It's good enough for this weekend.
That's a no.
Yeah, that's an absolute no.
We'll see if it's good enough for this weekend.
Ken and Cinnamon's up. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken. What's up?
Joe, this is idiotic. I mean, only in Philadelphia would we be having a conversation about whether or not you have to fire the winningest head coach in the NFL if he loses the next game. And, oh, by the way, we're having this conversation during the week leading up to the first playoff game. It's idiotic. And, you know, maybe if they did fire him, they would have to find another one of these who's that guys, because – why would anybody with any cachet or anything behind their name, why would they want to come to work for an organization that fires you when you're the winningest head coach in the NFL because you lose a game?
Well, it wouldn't be about a game. It'd be two playoff wins in 4 years with the best roster over that four-year period in the league. That's what it would be.
You just want to dismiss the resume. You want to dismiss the fact that if you look down the annals of this franchise's history, all of the boxes that have been checked by Nick Sirianni that have never been checked by any other coach. The Eagles have had two 14-win seasons in the history of the franchise. Nick Sirianni's got both of them. I know they just started playing 17 games. The Eagles had never won in New Orleans, check. The Eagles had never won in Baltimore, check. The Eagles had never won in Cincinnati, check. He's the winningest head coach in the NFL. I mean, literally, the rest of the NFL would have to just laugh.
Can I ask you something, Ken? Because I know back to our conversations during the summer and spring and fall, you're not the biggest fan of Rob Thompson. What's the difference in the resume right now between Rob Thompson and Nick Sirianni?
Well, you can point to individual decisions that Rob Thompson makes during games, and then the fact that Rob Thompson, especially in the postseason, and that Rob Thompson said after they got eliminated last year by Arizona that he's learned his lesson, he's going to make his changes, and he didn't change anything. You know, Rob Thompson is who he is. And I have always said Rob Thompson is a great manager for the regular season because he's even keel, and he never gets too high and he never gets too low, and that keeps kind of the team, because over 162 game slog, you know, you've got to be like that. So he's perfect for that. But if you don't have a little bit of Jim Leland in you when you get to the postseason, then you're not going to be as successful.
And that's fair. But my point is, you can have that opinion on Rob Thompson. I could have it on Sirianni. I don't think he gives them an advantage on the sidelines in a big game. Like, I need to see him coach well in a big game before I feel like this. I mean, like, who can? Ken, the Eagles have success no matter who the coach is. Don't we realize that by now?
No, so the Eagles lost three games this year.
Yes.
Which one of those three games did they lose because of Nick Sirianni?
I don't know. I mean, I know they won games that he didn't coach very well in. I mean, that's how good the team is.
So because he's got a good team, because he's a head coach of a good organization. Oh, by the way, Dan Campbell's got a pretty damn good roster too.
He does now, yeah.
And so, you know, so does Andy Reid, who's always had a good roster because he's got the best quarterback on the face of the earth. You know, I mean, this is idiotic.
But Ken, you wanted to move off of Rob Thompson. He's done more with less. Rob Thompson got an 88 win team to the World Series.
Here's the difference. I wanted to move off of Rob Thompson when they lost in the World Series. I wanted to move off of Rob Thompson after Game 6 of the World Series 2 years ago, because what I saw in terms of his decision making
I don't want to hear about resume, because his resume is great for his first 3 years as a manager, just like Sirianni's is. We're smarter than that, Ken. Appreciate the phone call. You could regurgitate his resume to me all you want. I know he's won 48 regular season games. I know he has 50 wins. Mm-hmm. I want to win the Super Bowl.
I think to your point, and I know you said he hasn't done it yet. I think Coach Sirianni has done a better job of coaching as of late. And I think that in this playoff run, that he's probably going to have a moment where he can show his coaching prowess. Coach Sirianni, and it's hard to see because we're in it, but I think after he had, and I call it the Britney Spears moment, after he had that Britney Spears moment, man, he's become a better coach in so many different ways. He's become a better communicator, I would say. He's become more reserved, which I think that in some way the team has responded to. Now, I don't know how much he's changed with the guys because I'm not a privy to that side of it. But as far as dealing with the media, as far as being clear and concise in his message in the press conferences that he has now, he's done a lot better. And on the sideline, he's been a better coach on the sideline. You don't see half of the stuff. Now, I know he's probably still gets a little animated, and there was a time where him and Jalen Carter
Clint Hurd,
had a little, all of that. But still, I feel like the reason why, and this is on the outside looking in, but I feel the reason why these guys respect and gravitate towards Coach Sirianni so much is because he allows them to have a voice.
I'm sure he does. I mean, there's no question about that. 215-592-9494. Right back to all your phone calls this coming up. Sirianni, has he done enough for you to secure his job long term with the regular season? Plus, we have to get to something Brandon Graham said on the morning show yesterday. This should get you excited. If the Eagles make a deep postseason run, you'll hear from BG next and Nick Sirianni's press conference coming up at noon right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Hugh, any new thoughts on the on just kind of, you know, admitting that it's time for the green beard? Sleep on that one last night?
No, I'm just saying, like I said, Google Eagles defense. Points gave up.
So we're staying right there.
Yeah, okay. We're staying right there.
I just, you know, I thought we gave you another 24 hours to kind of rethink.
No, I mean,
all this.
It is what it is. I mean, it's a fact.
Okay,
it's not what it is.
I thought it'd be better today, Kyle. We kind of left him alone the first hour and a half.
I know. I thought him sleeping on a little bit would be like, you know, wrong.
No.
So the whole city depending on you means nothing.
No, you know what's funny? I just find it hilarious how it has shifted. Mm-hmm. And people sliding in my DMs and saying stuff like, hey, do it for the city. Be a team player.
Doesn't that just tell you how important that is to people?
No, it's not. It
should resonate more.
People just want to see me with a green beard. That's all. I won. Fair and square. I won.
No, you didn't.
I won. Fair and square. And people are starting to say, well, come on. Like, I'm the Debbie Downer.
You are.
I'm not. People just want to see a green beard.
No, you are letting the entire city of Philadelphia down.
That's not true. Yes,
think about the excitement this week. Like, whatever level we're at, like a 7 or an 8 for this game, it'd be a 9 or 10 right now if you were walking around the city with a green beard.
Dude,
since Monday.
If you went to that pregame show with a green beard.
The crowd would erupt.
Nah.
Well, that's okay. Then this is, the outcome is on you then. I'm
this
just letting
tragedy.
You know. It really is. I'm actually disappointed.
Me too.
It's sad. 215-592-9494.
Thought you were a team player.
Me too.
See what it's turned into? See, that's what it is.
It's a little guilt.
Yeah, guilt tripping. Yeah, that ain't right.
Well, because we're going through the different stages until we get what we want. There's the bullying. There's the guilt.
It's like, you know, it became bully. All the day yesterday, bully.
Yeah. Threats
like,
will be next.
Come on, Hugh.
Everyone, make sure you let Hugh know that you want him to dye his beard green. 215-592-9494. Are we going to let you hear what Brandon Graham said in a few minutes here about the possibility of him making a return before this whole thing is over? We'll hear from that coming up. Your phone calls. And where do you sit on Sirianni? As we enter this playoffs game, look, at a really good regular season. They won 14 games. They have lost one game since September. It's all great and good, but he still does not have a contract extension yet. His future is still up in the air. Like, the Eagles could change that. They haven't yet. And the way I view it is, I'm not sold on his future here until he has real playoff success this year. I expect a trip to the NFC title game. Where do you come down on Sirianni? Has he done enough for you to secure his future already? Let's go to Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
What's up, Will?
What up, man?
Oh, man, listen. I just, you know, Sirianni, I ain't going to lie. He has grown in these last, like this season, he's grown a lot. Like, I really saw, like, in the interviews and everything and in the locker room moments, like, he's really grown a lot. But, like, as far as him holding on to his job, it may be up in the air. Because if you actually could keep saying you need to put Jalen and him in that pot, no, man, Jalen doing his job. Sirianni got to do a better job. And I told Sirianni. And I know it's like a broken record keep coming from me. I said, you better be careful the choice you make before you just allow Saquon not to get that record. Because I really think if he would have let Saquon get the record and we got the record and he went for it, we wouldn't even really be having this conversation. But guess what? You reap what you sow, man. You should have went for the record. We should have been going for everything. And guess what? I think that we're gonna knock Green Bay off, and I just want us to still have that winning attitude. But I think that knocked the morale out of us. And Sirianni, the last thing I can say, man, listen, you're a good coach, and I'm not going to put all that blame on you. I blame Jeff Lurie, and I blame our GM also, because I know you didn't really have a say so in it. But that's what we need. We need a coach that got some kahunas to stand up and say, listen, this is what we're going to do. This is how we've been all season. And we're going to keep riding it until the wheels fall off. That's it.
Well, Will, good fall coming. Like, I hope there's not a morale drop off of the Saquon thing. I think they'll be ready to go on Sunday. Now, like, years from now, will they look back and wish they went for the record? Probably. But, you know, Hugh, I expect when the game starts Sunday, Saquon's mind will be right and he'll be ready to roll. Are you concerned with a little drop off because they didn't play last week?
It's bigger fish to fry.
That's what I'm thinking.
Let's just be realistic. I understand that Saquon might be feeling some kind of way.
Yeah. Or his family probably is.
Yeah, I tell you what, but to be a Super Bowl champion, which I don't know what that feels like, but to be in a position where to have playoff success, that has to be bigger than an individual goal.
And you have a little – your story is not quite the same, but it's somewhat, right? You got drafted in New York, first-round pick. The team was not good with you there.
Struggled mightily.
Right, and then you got to come to this franchise. And it wasn't the first year like him, but pretty soon you got to be in the playoffs. Like, I'm sure he's just amped up to play on a big stage because he's only won one playoff game his whole career.
Yeah, and I think that is something that is driving Saquon, man, because let's be honest – The record would have been phenomenal. But to be on that stage, one of my greatest memories as an Eagle is, and it went full circle for me to go to Jacksonville, get paid, go to Jacksonville, not have a great season down there, see the success that the Eagles having, going to the NFC Championship, the game that they played the Carolina Panthers and lost, and then to have the ability to come back to Philadelphia and go to the Super Bowl that year with this team, man. That's a memory that even though it didn't play out in the end of my career, didn't play out the way that I wanted to, that's a memory that I wouldn't change for nothing in the world except for the outcome of the game. But to be in that scenario, man, to be with my teammates and to remember that moment is something that you will always cherish. I remember back, Emmett Thomas told us, there are no losers in the Super Bowl, and I remember looking at him like, man, you good and crazy when you say that. But I understand now as I've gotten older what exactly he meant. When he says there's no losers, like there is, and it's something that, you know, you carry for the rest of your life. But at the end of the day, when you look at it and you put it in perspective, like I did something or I was a part of something that a lot of great players never even experienced. You know, you talk about Barry Sanders, you talk about Eric Dickerson. Guys like that, they don't, like, they're Hall of Famers. They know a side and an aspect that I never know. But I got something on them that they don't have. So it's one of those things. It's really humbling, and you put it in perspective. And I think that's what Saquon is going to do. You know, they make it all the way, man, and they win this thing. That rushing title would have been nice. But every time he looked down and whatever finger he puts his ring on, that's going to be even nicer. Knowing where he's come from. Did he win a title in college? No.
Oh, no. No, Penn State hasn't won for a long time.
And you know what's funny? Even though I went to a small school, I won a title in college at Central State, NAIA champion. Like, that's not a big deal to some, but it's a big deal to me.
How come you don't bring that up more? You're a champion.
Yeah, NAIA champion. Yeah, that's a big deal to me.
Where's your ring or your
I still have it. Yeah, I still have it.
That's pretty cool.
I still have it, but it's one of those things.
Who did you guys beat?
We beat Gardner-Webb.
Gardner-Webb.
We beat Gardner-Webb. And it's one of those things that
it's a tough one, man.
Do you remember where you were that day watching the Central State Gardner Webb game?
How could I forget?
See, I can't. I hate that I told y'all not. It's gonna be so.
I gotta look up the box score of this game.
Whole thing, but no, it's one of those things, man, where it's phenomenal. I can't talk enough about it. It's funny listening to John Ritchie this
37-7. You blew him out.
listening to John Ritchie this morning talk about playoff intensity and things of that nature. He wasn't lying. It's a different level. And when I think about things like that, to have success in the playoffs, to win a game, that's something that a lot of NFL players have not enjoyed. So a lot of guys, man, who's played a lot of good years in the NFL, never won a playoff game. And that's something that you cherish. And so for Saquon to be in this moment and this right now, I don't think anybody's going to be thinking about, oh, man, we should have went for the record last week. I don't think nobody's doing that.
215-592-9494. All right, can we hear from Brandon Graham? Speaking of special things, you know, BG has obviously won a championship and was a huge part of it with the play he made against Tom Brady. And when he went down, it was about 5-6 weeks ago now, I think we all just assumed his chances to play again in an Eagles uniform this year were totally done. But listen to BG on the morning show yesterday, opening that door to maybe coming back here before the season is over.
Last time you were with us, you indicated, I don't know the exact words, but basically, this was pre-Christmas, that the door was slightly open to the possibility of you playing in the Super Bowl. A couple weeks from the Super Bowl now, if the team gets there, is the door still slightly open?
Hey, man, anything is possible. I just know right now, man, I'm just grinding. I'm working one game at a time. I'm like, come on, y'all, let's get to this one. Let's get through this one.
What do you make of this, Hugh? I mean, I think we all assumed just because of the injury he had that there's almost no way he'd get back this season because it happened in, I think it was the last weekend of November.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like he's got some optimism. He could come back maybe for a title game or the Super Bowl in early February. What do you make of BG saying that?
I think that's optimistic, man. See, I was trying to compare BG's injury to the one that I had like 20 years ago. But in the attempt to do that, you got to realize that medicine was a little different back then. And I don't know his actual procedure that he had on his arm. I can assume because when I tore my biceps, they took the tendon and they put it through the bone. And I had to leave my arm in a certain position and I had to stretch the tendon out and then get my strength back. I don't know what his procedure is for the triceps, but I would think the biggest thing for BG is atrophy. And getting the strength back in his arm. I don't know how long that usually takes. And if a doctor's out there, please, you know, chime in. But that's the thing, to get the muscle strong enough so that if something happens, he can protect himself. And, you know, just getting comfortable with being back out there, knowing that your body's not going to fail you. I don't know, man. That's because it takes at least 6 weeks for the injury to heal, for the bone to heal.
Mm.
And for the whatever procedure they use to heal to prepare his arm to heal, and I don't know how long it takes for him to build up enough strength to be able to go out there and play.
Well, I look at it this way: if he can help at all, I'd activate him. I mean, like we have very thin edge rushers right now without him out. I mean, if we get to the title game against Detroit and they think he could be 60% of his normal self, I think he's active and maybe he could help a little bit. 215-592-9494. Speaking of helping and helping a lot, we got some good news here, Hugh Douglas.
What you got?
We have some news on Jalen Hurts, according to Jeff McClain. Jalen Hurts is slated to be at Eagles practice today, sources said. A notable step forward as the quarterback works his way out of concussion protocol and prepares to start Sunday's first playoff game.
Much ado about nothing. Everybody was all nervous.
Yeah, people like you making a big deal out of nothing.
Making a big old deal about it. That's what we do.
Classic Hugh.
I know. It's unbelievable.
That's what I do.
Sky is falling.
We did get a kind of a sign of this yesterday. The Eagles waived Ian Book, their fourth quarterback. That was a sign that their top three quarterbacks are probably going to be good enough for this week. So we'll find out officially. I'm not sure if Sirianni is going to speak on this, if he's allowed to, but I'm sure he'll be asked again. Coming up at 12 o'clock, we'll play the Sirianni press conference. Let's go to Rob in Delco. Hey, Rob.
Yo, Hugh. Good morning, boys.
Hey, what's
Rob.
Going on?
What's up?
Listen, Hugh. Joe, I agree with you. So, Hugh, I got to ask you something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I just voted on the poll, and I'm part of 27%, Joe, that I need playoff success. And, Hugh, this is why, okay? The 2 years that we really, really have had successful years, obviously the Super Bowl run, and I believe this year we can make a deep run. What did Sirianni have in common compared to the other 2 years that weren't as successful? A strong, strong supporting cast. Wouldn't you agree, Hugh? On the offensive side and defensive side as far as coordinators?
Yeah.
Like strong, because we've seen what happened last year with the collapse. We had, what, average, below average coordinators on both sides of the ball.
Totally,
right?
Yep.
Okay, so this is why I'm leaning toward Joe, Hugh, because, hey, who was it, Joe, even? Was it Dallas Green that took over? I'm sure there's probably instances where coaches have taken over and they were the ones that kind of took the team over the top where another coach could only take them so far.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, Hugh brought up an example earlier of John Gruden in, Tony Dungy out. I mean, sometimes
that's right, Hugh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we could even go to, if we go to a player, I mean, the Rams made the playoffs with Jared Goff. They got to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, and then they realized, like, you know what, he's good, but they wanted something better, and Stafford was better in that moment, and they won the Super Bowl. Like, this happens in sports all the time. If you think the guy as the top is holding you back, you upgrade. It happens.
And this is why I want to kind of go after Ken from Cinemiss a little bit, trying to say this is crazy talk. No, I disagree with you, Ken, because I agree. I can't argue with the coach's success, Hugh. You really can't. But if this is his limit and he can't get us to that next step, which is ultimately finishing the deal and becoming world champions again for a second time, then, Joe, I'm not saying he's probably not going to be back, but I believe it should be a discussion, Joe, at least that much. It should be a discussion.
Well, you know yeah, and here's the thing. They have to make a decision after the season because he only has 1 year left on his contract. The Rob, we appreciate the phone call. If Sirianni's coming back, I imagine he's getting a contract extension.
Yeah, he has to. Yeah, and it's something where when you talk about how this season ends, they're probably factoring that into it. I can't recall since Jeffrey Lurie's been here, Mr. Lurie, where a coach has been in this situation.
Like a lame duck next year?
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, lame
but
duck coach
that's
situation.
What it is.
Yeah,
you have 1 year left, you're a lame duck.
Yeah.
A different sport, but we have seen this in basketball with the coach that's here right now. The Raptors lost in the conference semifinals, what, like 3 years in a row? They fire him, get Nick Nurse in. Takes him over the top.
Yep.
It's not unprecedented at all.
What was his name? Dwayne Casey?
Casey.
Yeah, Dwayne. And look, and the bottom line is this. The Eagles roster is more than good enough to go win a championship. I think most people now in this city are expecting a trip to the NFC Championship game. This is where I start to judge Sirianni now, what he does coming up on Sunday against the Packers. And next week gets the Bucs or the Rams or the Vikings, whoever it is. And then an NFC Championship game likely in Detroit. 215-592-9494. The Sirianni press conference coming up at 12. I'm sure he'll be asked about Hurts and the whole situation with practice coming up. By the way, I'm trying now. Now I'm digging that I found out that you're a champion. And I'm trying to find if there's any stories about your performance here in the title game. Do you remember what you did? Did you have any sacks or big plays?
I don't remember any of the sacks, but I remember our quarterback got hurt. I remember Henderson Moseley got hurt, rest in peace. And
I found something about Leroy Perkins.
Big Perk was the running back
he
that we
scored
had.
At the end.
Yeah, Big Perk. Because you know what I remember about that game, and this is the beautiful part about winning championship. It was a lead draw, and when they handed him the ball, he fumbled, and the ball bounced right back up into his hands, and that's when he scored. That was a tough fought game though.
You guys won a game 83-0 that season.
Yeah, hey, listen, dog. We.
I'm trying to find highlights here, Kyle. Of Hughes' college career. Yeah,
those films are gritty.
There's untapped gritty resources film. Here for us.
But no, it was funny, man. We had a pretty good team. We played Troy State, and they were like a big deal because I think Troy State is D1 now. Mm. We played them on their homecoming, and they played us to a tie. We had a pretty good team that year.
Let's go to Rich in Northeast Philly. What's up, Rich? Rich?
Perfect. All right.
Too big.
Yes. Good morning, Hugh.
Hey,
good
what's
morning.
Going on?
Hey, Rich. What's up?
You know, there is no plan B here. All right. First and foremost, let's get all the confusion out of the way. Hugh Douglas, let me just ask you a question, flat out, point blank. Is our defense the best in the NFL right now?
How many points did they give up this year?
Say it, Rich.
Rich, how many points did they give up?
Hugh Douglas, I'm asking you a direct question.
Our defense is good, but now answer my question.
Oh, the good. The back
They're
hand
good.
Compliments.
Do we have the best? Hugh, you didn't answer my question?
Oh, Rich, I did answer the question. I said they.
Are we going to do Mary Grove Brown and get David Terrell in his chair? You didn't answer the question.
Oh, you're right, Rich. If you're asking me, were they a good defense? They were the number one defense ranked in the NFL this year.
Okay. Let's take you for answering that question. Is there an offense out there right now, today, in the whole entire NFL that can beat our defense when it comes down to the nuts and the bolts and grinding?
I think Detroit Lions will give them a run for their money.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So thank you, Hugh. You answered my question.
Oh, no, I did answer the question. Now, could you do me a favor and answer mine?
Yo, absolutely.
How many points did the Eagles defense on average give up this year?
17.8, Hugh.
So what? Why are we having this conversation?
Well, that's not true.
Because, well, yes. Well, you're exactly right. Go ahead, please. Why isn't that true?
No, I'm saying I asked you a question. I was like, okay, they gave up 17.8 points, so why are we having this conversation?
No, the defense didn't, though.
17 or 16.
The team did.
No.
The team did.
When you look at
no, you had the wrong stat.
Yeah.
When you look at the official stat, because he asked me to be truthful and factual, right?
And I did that.
Rich, you asked me to be truthful and factual, right? And I did that. I gave you what you asked for, correct?
Correct, because this isn't
okay, so
here.
Now I'm asking you, officially, how many points did the Eagles defense give up?
The stats say 17.8.
No, that's not true.
No, we've established those are faulty.
So again, I ask you, Rich, what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
You dyeing your beard green is what
we're
talking about.
But see, you can argue what you want. You can argue facts, though.
The fact is the defense did not give up 17.8.
I can't say that anymore. We can't argue facts because we are arguing. That's exactly what we're doing.
We're literally arguing.
That is not a fact.
You know what it is? I found this out over the years on WIP. People don't like facts that they don't like. I mean, it's not about is it a fact. It's I don't like the fact. Like when I say Sirianni's playoff record is 2-3 and I need him to have playoff success this year, people don't like that. That's a fact. Hugh doesn't like the fact that the Eagles' defense gave up less than the amount of points he bet on.
No, I'm just saying.
He has alternative facts.
Every stat book that I go to, when I ask that question, it says the same.
Well, you're wrong stat books. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Sirianni, has he done enough to secure his job long-term for you, or do you need playoff success? 215-592-9494. We'll continue yelling at Hugh for his beard. Sirianni's presser coming up next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Hugh, any new thoughts on admitting that it's time for the green beard? Sleep on that one last night?
No, I'm just saying, like I said, Google Eagles defense. Points gave up.
So we're staying right there.
Yeah, okay. We're staying right there.
I thought we gave you another 24 hours to kind of rethink.
No, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's a fact.
Okay.
It's not what it is.
I thought it'd be better today, Kyle. We kind of left him alone the first hour and a half.
I know. I thought him sleeping on a little bit would be like, wrong.
No.
So the whole city depending on you means nothing.
No, you know what's funny? I just find it hilarious how it has shifted. Mm-hmm. And people sliding in my DMs and saying stuff like, hey, do it for the city. Be a team player.
Doesn't that just tell you how important that is to people in this town?
No, it's not. People just want to see me with a green beard. That's all. I won. Fair and square, I won.
No, you didn't.
I won. Fair and square. And people are starting to say, well, come on. Like I'm the Debbie Downer.
You are.
I'm not. People just want to see a green beard.
You are letting the entire city of Philadelphia down.
That's not true. Yes,
think about the excitement this week. Like, whatever level we're at, like a 7 or an 8 for this game, it'd be a 9 or 10 right now if you were walking around the city with a green beard.
Dude,
since Monday.
If you went to that pregame show with the green beard.
The crowd would erupt.
Nah.
Well, that's okay. Then this is, the outcome is on you then. I'm
this
just letting
tragedy.
You know. It really is. I'm actually disappointed.
Me too.
It's sad. 215-592-9494.
Thought you were a team player.
Me too.
See what it's turned into? See, that's what it is.
It's a little guilt.
Yeah, guilt tripping. Yeah, that ain't right.
Well, because we're going through the different stages until we get what we want. There's the bullying. There's the guilt.
It's like, you know, it became bully all the day yesterday. Bully.
Yeah. Threats
like,
will be next.
Come on, Hugh.
Everyone, make sure you let Hugh know that you want him to dye his beard green. 215-592-9494. Are we going to let you hear what Brandon Graham said in a few minutes here about the possibility of him making a return before this whole thing is over? We'll hear from that coming up. Your phone calls. And where do you sit on Sirianni? As we enter this playoffs game, look, he had a really good regular season. They won 14 games. They have lost one game since September. It's all great and good, but he still does not have a contract extension yet. His future is still up in the air. Like, the Eagles could change that. They haven't yet. And the way I view it is, I'm not sold on his future here until he has real playoff success this year. I expect a trip to the NFC title game. Where do you come down on Sirianni? Has he done enough for you to secure his future already? Let's go to Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
What's up, Will?
What up, man?
Oh, man, listen. I just, you know, Sirianni, I ain't gonna lie. He has grown in these last, like, this season, he's grown a lot. Like, I really saw, like, in the interviews and everything and in the locker room moments, like, he's really grown a lot. But, like, as far as him holding on to his job, it may be up in the air. Because if you actually could keep saying you need to put Jalen and him in that pot, no, man, Jalen doing his job. Sirianni got to do a better job. And I told Sirianni, and I know it's like a broken record keep coming from me. I said, you better be careful the choice you make before you just allow Saquon not to get that record. Because I really think if he would have let Saquon get the record and we got the record and he went for it, we wouldn't even really be having this conversation. But guess what? You reap what you sow, man. You should have went for the record. We should have been going for everything. And guess what? I think that we're gonna knock Green Bay off, and I just want us to still have that winning attitude. But I think that knocked the morale out of us. And Sirianni, the last thing I can say, man, listen, you're a good coach, and I'm not gonna put all that blame on you. I blame Jeff Lurie, and I blame our GM also, because I know you didn't really have a say so in it. But that's what we need. We need a coach that got some kahunas to stand up and say, listen, this is what we're going to do. This is how we've been all season. And we're going to keep riding it until the wheels fall off. That's it.
Well, Will, good fall coming. Like, I hope there's not a morale drop off of the Saquon thing. I think they'll be ready to go on Sunday. Now, like, years from now, will they look back and wish they went for the record? Probably. But, you know, Hugh, I expect when the game starts Sunday, Saquon's mind will be right and he'll be ready to roll. Are you concerned with a little drop-off because they didn't play last week?
It's bigger fish to fry.
That's what I'm thinking.
Let's just be realistic. I understand that Saquon might be feeling some kind of way.
Yeah. No worries, and his family probably is.
Yeah, I tell you what. But to be a Super Bowl champion, which I don't know what that feels like, but to be in a position where to have playoff success, that has to be bigger than an individual goal.
And you have a little – your story is not quite the same, but it's somewhat, right? You got drafted in New York, first-round pick. The team was not good with you there.
Struggled mightily
right
up there.
And then you got to come to this franchise. And it wasn't the first year like him, but pretty soon you got to be in the playoffs. Like, I'm sure he's just amped up to play on a big stage because he's only won one playoff game his whole career.
Yeah, and I think that is something that is driving Saquon, man, because let's be honest – The record would have been phenomenal. But to be on that stage, one of my greatest memories as an Eagle is, and it went full circle for me to go to Jacksonville, get paid, go to Jacksonville, not have a great season down there, see the success that the Eagles having, going to the NFC Championship, the game that they played the Carolina Panthers and lost, and then to have the ability to come back to Philadelphia and go to the Super Bowl that year with this team, man. That's a memory that even though it didn't play out in the end of my career, didn't play out the way that I wanted to, that's a memory that I wouldn't change for nothing in the world except for the outcome of the game. But to be in that scenario, man, to be with my teammates and to remember that moment, it's something that you will always cherish. I remember – back, Emmett Thomas told us there are no losers in the Super Bowl, and I remember looking at him like, man, you good and crazy when you say that. But I understand now as I've gotten older what exactly he meant. When he says there's no losers, like there is, and it's something that, you know, you carry for the rest of your life. But at the end of the day, when you look at it and you put it in perspective, like I did something or I was a part of something that a lot of great players never even experienced. You know, you talk about Barry Sanders, you talk about Eric Dickerson. Guys like that,
getting
they
to
don't
play
know,
in one. Yeah.
They don't like they're Hall of Famers. They know a side and an aspect that I never know. But I got something on them that they don't have. So it's one of those things. It's really humbling, and you put it in perspective. And I think that's what Saquon is gonna do. You know, they make it all the way, man, and they win this thing. That rushing title would have been nice. But every time he looked down and whatever finger he puts his ring on, that's gonna be even nicer. Knowing where he's come from. Did he win a title in college? No.
Oh, no. No, Penn State hasn't won for a long time.
And you know what's funny? Even though I went to a small school, I won a title in college at Central State, NAIA champion. Like, that's not a big deal to some, but it's a big deal to me.
How come you don't bring that up more? You're a champion.
NAIA champion. Yeah, that's a big deal to me.
Where's your ring or your
I still have it.
Yeah,
I still have it.
That's pretty cool.
I still have it, but it's one of those things.
Who did you guys beat?
We beat
Gardner Webb.
We beat Gardner Webb. And it's one of those things that
it's a tough one, man.
Do you remember where you were that day watching the Central State Gardner Webb game?
How can I forget?
See, I can't. I hate that I told y'all not. It's gonna be so.
I gotta look up the box score of this game.
Whole thing, but no, it's one of those things, man. Where it's phenomenal. I can't talk enough about it. It's funny listening to John Ritchie this
37-7,
morning.
37-7, you blew him out.
listening to John Ritchie this morning talk about playoff intensity and things of that nature. He wasn't lying. It's a different level. And when I think about things like that, to have success in the playoffs, to win a game, that's something that a lot of NFL players have not enjoyed. So a lot of guys, man, who's played a lot of good years in the NFL, never won a playoff game. And that's something that you cherish. And so for Saquon to be in this moment and this right now, I don't think anybody's going to be thinking about, oh, man, we should have went for the record last week. I don't think nobody's doing that.
215-592-9494. All right, can we hear from Brandon Graham? Speaking of special things, you know, BG has obviously won a championship and was a huge part of it with the play he made against Tom Brady. And when he went down, it was about 5-6 weeks ago now, I think we all just assumed his chances to play again in an Eagles uniform this year were totally done. But listen to BG on the morning show yesterday, opening that door to maybe coming back here before the season is over.
Last time you were with us, you indicated, I don't know the exact words, but basically, this was pre-Christmas, that the door was slightly open to the possibility of you playing in the Super Bowl. A couple weeks from the Super Bowl now, if the team gets there, is the door still open? Slightly open?
Hey, man. Anything is possible. I just know right now, man, I'm just grinding. I'm working one game at a time. I'm like, come on, y'all, let's get to this one. Let's get through this one.
What do you make of this, Hugh? I mean, I think we all assumed just because of the injury he had that there's almost no way he'd get back this season because it happened in, I think it was the last weekend of November.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like he's got some optimism. He could come back maybe for a title game or the Super Bowl in early February. What do you make of BG saying that?
I think that's optimistic, man. See, I was trying to compare BG's injury to the one that I had like 20 years ago. But in the attempt to do that, you got to realize that medicine was a little different back then. And I don't know his actual procedure that he had on his arm. I can assume because when I tore my biceps, they took the tendon and they put it through the bone. And I had to leave my arm in a certain position and I had to stretch the tendon out and then get my strength back. I don't know what his procedure is for the triceps, but I would think the biggest thing for BG is atrophy and getting the strength back in his arm. I don't know how long that usually takes. And if a doctor's out there, please, you know, chime in. But that's the thing, the atrophy to get the muscle strong enough so that if something happens, he can protect himself. And, you know, just getting comfortable with being back out there knowing that your body's not going to fail you. I don't know, man. That's because it takes at least 6 weeks for the injury to heal, for the bone to heal, and for the whatever procedure they use to heal to repair his arm to heal. And I don't know how long it takes for him to build up enough strength to be able to go out there and play.
Well, I look at it this way. If he can help at all, I'd activate him. I mean, like, we have very thin edge rushers right now without him out. I mean, if we get to the title game against Detroit and they think he could be 60% of his normal self, I think he's active. And maybe he could help a little bit. 215-592-9494. For speaking of helping and helping a lot, we got some good news here, Hugh Douglas.
What you got?
We have some news on Jalen Hurts, according to Jeff McClain. Jalen Hurts is slated to be at Eagles practice today, sources said. A notable step forward as the quarterback works his way out of concussion protocol and prepares to start Sunday's first playoff
Much
game.
Much ado about nothing. Everybody was all nervous.
Yeah, people like you making a big deal out of nothing.
Making a big old deal about it. That's what we do.
Classic Hugh.
I know. It's unbelievable.
That's what I do.
Sky is falling.
We did get a kind of a sign of this yesterday. The Eagles waived Ian Book, their fourth quarterback. That was a sign that their top three quarterbacks are probably going to be good enough for this week. So we'll find out officially. I'm not sure if Sirianni is going to speak on this, if he's allowed to, but I'm sure he'll be asked again. Coming up at 12 o'clock, we'll play the Sirianni press conference. Let's go to Rob in Delco. Hey, Rob.
Joe, Hugh, good morning, boys.
Hey, what's
Rob,
going on?
What's up?
Listen, Hugh, Joe, I agree with you. So, Hugh, I got to ask you something, okay?
This is why
I just voted on the poll, and I'm part of 27%, Joe, that I need playoff success. And, Hugh, this is why, okay? The 2 years that we really, really have had successful years, obviously the Super Bowl run, and I believe this year we can make a deep run. What did Sirianni have in common compared to the other 2 years that weren't as successful? A strong, strong supporting cast. Wouldn't you agree, Hugh? On the offensive side and defensive side, as far as coordinators?
Yeah.
Like, strong. Because we've seen what happened last year with the collapse. We had, average, below-average coordinators on both sides of the ball.
Totally,
right?
Yep.
Okay, so this is why I'm leaning toward Joe, Hugh, because, and who was it, Joe, even? Was it Dallas Green that took over? I'm sure you find instances where coaches have taken over, and they were the ones that kind of took the team over the top where another coach could only take them so far.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, Hugh brought up an example earlier of John Gruden in, Tony Dungy out. I mean, sometimes
that's right, Hugh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we can even go to a player. I mean, the Rams made the playoffs with Jared Goff. They got to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, and then they realized, like, you know what, he's good, but they wanted something better, and Stafford was better in that moment, and they won the Super Bowl. Like, this happens in sports all the time. If you think the guy as the top is holding you back, you upgrade. It happens.
And this is why I want to kind of go after Ken from Cinemiss a little bit, trying to say this is crazy talk. No, I disagree with you, Ken, because I agree. I can't argue with the coach's success, Hugh. You really can't. But if this is his limit and he can't get us to that next step, which is ultimately finishing the deal and becoming world champions again for a second time, then, Joe, I'm not saying he's probably not going to be back, but I believe it should be a discussion, Joe, at least that much. It should be a discussion.
Well, you know, yeah, and here's the thing. They have to make a decision after the season because he only has 1 year left on his contract. Rob, we appreciate the phone call. If Sirianni's coming back, I imagine he's getting a contract extension.
Yeah, he has to. Yeah, and it's something where when you talk about how this season ends, they're probably factoring that into it. I can't recall, since Jeffrey Lurie's been here, Mr. Lurie, where a coach has been in this situation.
Like a lame duck next year?
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, lame duck coach situation.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
you have 1 year left, you're a lame duck.
Yeah.
A different sport, but we have seen this in basketball with the coach that's here right now. The Raptors lost in the conference semifinals, three years in a row? They fire him, get Nick Nurse in, takes him over the top.
Yep.
It's not unprecedented at all.
What was his name? Dwayne Casey?
Casey.
Yeah, Dwayne. And look, the bottom line is this. The Eagles roster is more than good enough to go win a championship. I think most people now in this city are expecting a trip to the NFC Championship game. This is where I start to judge Sirianni now, what he does coming up on Sunday against the Packers. And next week gets the Bucs or the Rams or the Vikings, whoever it is. And then an NFC Championship game likely in Detroit. 215-592-9494. The Sirianni press conference coming up at 12. I'm sure he'll be asked about Hurts and the whole situation with practice coming up. By the way, I'm trying now. Now I'm digging that I found out that you're a champion And I'm trying to I'm trying to find if there's any stories about your performance here in the title game. Do you remember what you did? Did you have any sacks or big plays?
I don't remember any of the sacks, but I remember our quarterback got hurt. I remember Henderson Moseley got hurt, rest in peace. And
I found something about Leroy Perkins.
Big Perk was the running back that
he
we
scored
had
at the end.
Yeah, Big Perk. Because you know what I remember about that game, and this is the beautiful part about winning championships. It was a lead draw, and when they handed him the ball, he fumbled, and the ball bounced right back up into his hands, and that's when he scored. That was a tough fought game, though.
Won a game 83-0 that season.
Yeah, hey, listen, dog. We
I'm trying to find highlights here, Kyle, of Hughes' college career. Yeah,
those films are gritty.
There's untapped resources here for us.
But no, it was funny, man. We had a pretty good team. We played Troy State, and they were like a big deal because I think Troy State is D1 now. We played them on their home.
Too, yeah.
We played them on their homecoming, and they played us to a tie. We had a pretty good team that year.
Let's go to Rich in Northeast Philly. What's up, Rich? Rich?
Perfect. All right.
Too big.
Yes. Good morning, Hugh.
Hey,
morning.
What's going on?
Hey, Rich. What's up?
You know, there is no plan B here. All right. First and foremost, let's get all the confusion out of the way. Hugh Douglas, let me just ask you a question flat out, point blank. Is our defense the best in the NFL right now?
How many points did they give up this year?
Say it, Rich.
Rich, how many points did they give up?
Hugh Douglas, I'm asking you a direct question.
Our defense is good, but now answer my question.
Oh, the good. The backhand compliments.
We had the best. Hugh, you didn't answer my question.
Oh, Rich, I did answer the question. I said they.
Are we going to do Mary Grove Brown and get David Travis chair? You didn't answer the question.
Oh, you're right, Rich. If you're asking me, were they a good defense? They were the number one defense ranked in the NFL this year.
Okay. Let's take you for answering that question. Is there an offense out there right now, today, in the whole entire NFL that can beat our defense when it comes down to the nuts and the bolts and grinding?
I think Detroit Lions will give them a run for their money.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So thank you. You answered my question.
Oh, no, I did answer the question. Now, could you do me a favor and answer mine?
Yo, absolutely.
How many points did the Eagles defense on average give up this year?
17.8, Hugh.
So what, why are we having this conversation?
Well, that's not true.
Because, well, yes. Well, you're exactly right. Go ahead, please. Well, why isn't that true?
No, I'm saying I asked you a question. I was like, okay, they gave up 17.8 points, so why are we having this conversation?
No, the defense didn't, though.
17 or 16.
The team did.
No.
The team did.
When you look at
you had the wrong stat.
Yeah.
Hey, this
is the problem.
When you look at the official stat, because he asked me to be truthful and factual, right?
And I did that. WIP?
Rich, you asked me to be truthful and factual, right? And I did that. I gave you what you asked for, correct?
Correct, because this isn't
okay, so now I'm asking you officially. How many points did the Eagles defense give up?
The stats say 17.8.
No, that's not true.
We've established those are faulty.
So again, I ask you, Rich, what are we talking about?
You dyeing your beard green is what we're talking about.
That's... But you can argue what you want. You can argue facts, though.
The defense did not give up 17.8.
I can't say that anymore. We can't argue facts because we are arguing. That's exactly what we're doing.
We're literally arguing facts.
That is not a fact.
You know what it is? I found this out over the years on WIP. People don't like facts that they don't like. I mean, it's not about is it a fact. It's I don't like the fact. Like when I say Sirianni's playoff record is 2-3 and I need him to have playoff success this year, people don't like that. That's a fact. Hugh doesn't like the fact that the Eagles defense gave up less than the amount of points he bet on.
No, I'm just saying.
The fact of the matter is
every stat book that I go to, when I ask that question, it says same.
Well, you're wrong stat books. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Sirianni, has he done enough to secure his job long term for you, or do you need playoff success? 215-592-9494. We'll continue yelling at Hugh for his beard. Sirianni's presser coming up next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.